Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
John and Ken Show. John Cobell and Ken Champeau. KFI. AM 640. Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, we'll be talking later on this hour about those Michigan parents who finally got caught after it looked like they were on the run following their son's arrest and then charges against them in the Michigan school shooting that occurred last week at a high school in a place called Oxford, Michigan. We'll get to that later on this hour. I want to read you Governor Gavin Newsom's schedule for today. Governor Gavin Newsom has left the state. The governor will be on the East Coast discussing his new children's book, Ben and Emma's Big Hit, about a younger boy's struggle with dyslexia. The governor will return to the state on Wednesday, December 8th. I'm guessing he'll be on The View. What do you think?
I don't know, but it sounds like they would be that kind of stupid stuff.
I guess. Yeah.
So wherever they're going to gush over him.
Yeah, they put out this children's book a couple of months ago. And of course, allegedly Newsom was dyslexic as a child, and he's worked on a book.
Maybe that explains it.
To try to help other children deal with.
He seems to think Prop 47 reduces crime. He's got it backwards.
Oh, that could explain.
Yeah,
exactly. Let's play what John was just talking about before we talk to the Fresno County District Attorney Lisa Smitkamp. Last week, Governor Newsom stood there, and by his side was the Attorney General of the state, Rob Bonta. And this is part of what he had to say about the crime wave and matters like Proposition 47.
I did a story last week. I talked to a store owner. He's been hit by the same guy four times in
this
one week.
A reporter asking the question.
He says,
I just wanted
the laws have no teeth, and that's why thieves aren't afraid to go into stores.
Well, I don't know.
Is it time to revisit Prop 47?
Well, hold on. There's laws against shoplifting. So the laws, I don't know what, that individual should be arrested. If they've been identified the first time, they should have been arrested the second, third, fourth time. So,
do you think that is a deterrent? Do you think that scares people?
To be arrested? I certainly.
But they don't even spend time in jail, Governor.
Well, they could. Prosecute them. Arrest them. Let me challenge the notion. Since Prop 47, crime dropped significantly. Shoplifting dropped significantly. Property crimes dropped significantly. 2015, 16, 17, 18, 19. We have seen since realignment and Prop 47, property crimes decline. It seems to me that there's deterrence when people are arrested for breaking the law and are prosecuted. So we need arrests and we need prosecutions. We need people held to account. No one condones that behavior, quite the contrary. Prop 47 seems rather insignificant in relationship to what's been happening with these organized crime units, because it's well beyond the $950 limit.
But that's,
it's millions
that's
and
right,
millions
we can stop
of dollars.
It there, because I think we got the idea of what he's saying. It's idiocy.
So it's the fault of the police officers and the prosecutors
right.
For
right.
Not arresting and charging them and making the charges stick. Well, Lisa Smitkamp is the Fresno County District Attorney. And that was a reporter from Fresno who was challenging the governor. And Lisa heard this and hit the roof. How are you? Welcome again.
Well, thank you for having me.
What is your response to the governor saying that, hey, the crime rates are going down, Prop 47 has nothing to do with it? It's the fault of DAs and police for not arresting and prosecuting.
What I really think I can't say on the live radio. So what I'll say is he's a hypocrite, and you know, his statistics are a complete facade. They are just that. They are manipulated statistics. And the bottom line at the end of the day is he's going to defend 47 until the day he dies, because he knows that he was right there with Jerry Brown, right there with Kamala Harris, right there with all the rest of them. who encouraged this and who supported it, along with 47 and 57. And they have created this disaster. They have taken California down to the existence of where we are now, where we have people who are drug addicted. There is no help for them. There is no programming available for them. They've taken all the teeth away from the criminal justice system, which oftentimes was the exact system that helped people who were drug addicted. And those people are not only now homeless without families or abusing their children and their wives and their spouses, but these are the people who are now committing, you know, the types of robberies, the armed robberies that you see and the smash and grab robberies that are going on. And you know, in addition to the disaster that Prop 47 is, you know, we have Prop 57, which releases very serious criminals from prison, in addition to the just exaggerated number of people that Governor Newsom is releasing on elder parole and youthful offender parole. And that's a whole nother subject that the average voter doesn't even know about. So he has created this disaster, and all of his rhetoric is just complete BS. It's just lies. More lies to protect his political positions.
And listening to it again, you could hear him say, well, you know, Prop 47 passed 7 years ago. AB 109 is 10 years ago. Crime rates went down, went down, went down, went down. Now they may be going up a bit, but you can't blame those things.
Well, you know, where he gets his statistics from is because most major corporations, most pharmacies or department stores, where a lot of these petty thefts are happening on a daily basis. You know, we have a local Macy's here in Fresno, and it's a very nice area of town. And I talked to the store manager one day after I walked in to return a pair of shoes, and some guy walked out with about, you know, a handful of clothes, whether it was over the 950 or not doesn't matter. And he just walked right out of the store right in front of me. So I went out and took a picture of the car and came into the store, loss prevention people. And they said, we don't call the cops. We don't want the cops here. We don't report it to law enforcement. And it happens 5 or 6 times a day.
Yeah, and multiply that by thousands of stores. And that's why I don't believe anybody's statistics anymore.
Right. That's why he can say crime is down, because retail stores, mom and pop shops, corporations, they don't call anymore, because literally, even if we are able to identify and arrest, there is no room in the jails because of the influx of prisoners from the state prisons to the local jails. There is no room in the jail for people. Now, on top of this, we have COVID quarantines and the fact that, you know, Newsom doesn't tell the general public that he shut down the prisons for months. So all the people that we were arresting for gun crimes, gang crimes, violent crimes, there was no room in the jail for them, because even though courts were, I know you guys shut down in L.A., but we didn't shut down here. And many, many counties in the valley did not shut down. We kept prosecuting. We kept doing trials. We kept having prisoners that were sentenced after pleas or convictions or being found guilty by a jury that were stuck in our local jails pending transport to the California prisons. And Newsom shut them down, would not accept any reception of inmates. So that was more beds that we didn't have. So the crime has just gotten rampant all over the state, and he takes no accountability for it and has the audacity to say that it's the police and the prosecutors. He's a psychopath, if that's what he expects people to believe. It's crazy.
Well,
this is his doing, and Jerry Brown and Rob Bonta.
And they set this
and
up
unfortunately,
on purpose.
The voters, too.
Well, you know, the voters, look, voters are apathetic today. We all live in a society where we're busy with our jobs and our kids and, you know, our Facebook lives and trying to be all of these things that we need to be in the world. And we don't pay attention to who we're voting for and what they stand for. And look, every DA in this state is doing criminal justice reform. Jackie Lacey was the leader in criminal justice reform in your county. She did more innovative things than probably any other DAs, and many DAs, you know, who followed her and who learned from her We implemented programs in our own counties that were modeled after Los Angeles. Los Angeles should be the leader. You're the largest county down there. And what you have now is an imposter DA. I won't even call him District Attorney Gascon because he's not a district attorney. He is nothing of what a DA is about. DAs are about public safety and representing the rights of victims and figuring out which defendants it's proper to give a break to. We want to rehabilitate every person that comes through the system that is capable and able of rehabilitating themselves and getting out into the world and being productive citizens. But we also have to have the skill and the ability to say, okay, you are not a person who deserves to be in the community for a certain period of time because of the egregious nature of the violent crime that you've committed. And it's not politically correct in Los Angeles or San Francisco to say some people need to go to prison. But you know what? In the Valley here and in Fresno and in much of the state, it's okay to say that. Some people need to go to prison. And until the people of Los Angeles wake up and they recall that DA, you guys are going to be stuck in the hell that you're in.
Lisa Smitkamp, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for coming on.
You are most welcome. Stay safe out there, okay?
All right, thanks again.
District Attorney of Fresno County. I wish she would move down here and run because the Gascon recall is back on. We're going to talk about that next hour. She was mentioning Los Angeles County District Attorney George Gascon. And, of course, they have rebooted the effort. We'll be talking about that after 4 o'clock. More coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. John and Ken Show. John Cobell and Ken Champeau, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Well, one of the hot stories while we were doing the show Friday afternoon was, where are the parents of the 15-year-old kid that killed his classmates, 4 of them, at a place called Oxford, Michigan? Ethan Crumbly is the 15-year-old. The parents are James and Jennifer. And the reason they were in the news is they were charged with 4 counts of involuntary manslaughter, in addition to the son. And their whereabouts were unknown, but they were captured later that day or early Saturday. They were hiding out in an apartment of an artist by the name of Andres Sikora, a 65-year-old man who has said that he knows them, but not very well. And I guess they asked for his help, maybe a place to stay. He says he did not know that they were in trouble with the law. He probably wasn't really following the news. I have no idea. But well, he did not really know what was going on and didn't know the couple had active warrants.
They met at a ski club. That's how they knew each other.
Oh.
And he knew they lived in Oxford. And when he saw the shooting on the news, he texted them saying, just checking in to see if everybody was okay in the family, not knowing that their son
killed everybody?
Yeah, did the murdering. Hmm. And so he claims he had no idea they were on the run, no idea that the kid was responsible.
Yeah, so he's not been charged with any crime so far. But who might be charged with a crime could be school officials at that Oxford High School, because as we now know, the shooting took place on Tuesday, but the kid was called in Monday and Tuesday, and his parents came Tuesday, and allegedly, while they were having a conversation about his bizarre behavior in the classroom, he was sitting there with the backpack with the gun in it. And according to prosecutors in Oakland County, it is possible that the school officials had legal grounds to search that backpack and his locker, but didn't do so.
He drew a picture of somebody getting shot, and there was blood, and he wrote things like "the voices won't stop," something to that effect. Help me.
Right.
All right. So if he's drawing a gun, shooting somebody, and blood's coming out, and he's saying, "the voices won't stop, help me," anybody with the tiniest bit of brain matter, of common sense, would get that kid off the campus and call the police and let them figure out what to do with him. This counselor is a preposterous fool. The kid, Ethan, told the counselor that the drawing was part of a video game he was designing, and that he was going to be pursuing video game design as a career.
A video game where they're shooting.
And she went for this. Instead of saying, "well, that's really wonderful, but we're going to have to take you off the property right now." and let me inspect that backpack. It's perfectly legal for a high school to inspect a student's backpack. That's what you do. The irony, and this is what I don't understand, the students were all very well trained to protect themselves, to barricade doors, to get out of harm's way, right? They've done a lot of active shooter training sessions. The empty-headed counselor? What else was she, what else could he have written to convince her that he was gonna that he wanted to kill people?
He was also searching on his phone for ammunition. That seems like more than putting together a video game.
Well, yeah, it was just. By the way, evil people lie to get away with their plans.
Of course,
you just assume the kid is lying. You start with that. That's the baseline. This kid's lying because he's been caught. He's drawing pictures of killing people. We caught him looking for ammunition. We're going to assume he's guilty and work from there. You're not violating anybody's rights by assuming he's guilty. You're not taking away his freedoms. What you're doing is protecting the lives of all the other kids in the school.
So what we understand is they recommended counseling, which the parents resisted. And then everybody went on with their days, including the boy allegedly going back to class. But instead, what he did was he set himself up with a gun in his backpack, most likely, and then he went about shooting people.
See, the kid, and psychopaths are really good at this, knew how to manipulate the counselor. He said, well, I'm going to be missing my homework. And he asked if he could do the science homework while he was waiting in the office for the parents.
Wow, he really is crazy.
Yeah.
Is evil.
He snowed this woman. And while he's sitting there pretending to do his science homework, he knows he's got a gun in the backpack. He knows his parents are coming. He knows as soon as he gets out of there, he's pulling the gun out and he's going to carry through his plan. Of course, he drew it for them. In fact, he could have said, hey, you want me to draw what I'm going to do? Here, how about this? See that? Dead victim, gun, blood.
What happened to an abundance of caution? We see it all the time with COVID. How about an abundance of caution? Get that kid out of there and somebody look at his backpack.
And here's this idiot counselor. She told the parents they had 48 hours to seek counseling for their child, or we're going to call Child Protective Services.
Oh, nice.
48 hours? How about 48 seconds?
Seconds, yeah.
You call a counselor right now in front of me. What is wrong with bureaucrats? Crap like this happens all the time.
They want to give the child the benefit of the doubt.
I am totally shocked.
Oh, well, he said he wants to be a video game designer. Oh.
Wow.
He's got an aspiration.
Criminal never lied to you before, huh?
We need to encourage kids' aspirations, not condemn them.
Yeah.
All right, we got more coming up. Don't forget, after 4 o'clock, we'll talk with the organizers who are back. They are rebooting the effort to drag that George Gascon out of the L.A. County District Attorney's Office.
John and Ken, KFI. Wow, 873,000. Big load of money. John and Ken Show. John Cobell, Ken Champeau. It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, they're going to try again right after 4 o'clock news. We're going to talk to another representative of recall George Gascon from office. That's the L.A. County DA who took office a year ago, and it has been a disaster, particularly for victims of crime and their families. We'll get with them after 4 o'clock as they've announced they're rebooting the effort. As you know, they stopped it. And the explanation at the time was we just didn't have the money. We were really quick with putting together all the details we needed and all the petitions, but we just don't have enough people to circle. In other words, there's a demand out there to sign the petition. We just don't have the people to get it out there.
Most propositions, recalls that should pass, they don't get on the ballot because they don't get the money. See, the left-wing progressive causes always have unions behind them. It's easy for them to get on the ballot.
Right.
For some reason, the normal people don't have some huge money-grubbing machine like the labor unions to put money into a proposition that would make life better.
All right. Well, back to the madness of Omicron.
That's a dud. That's not going to amount to anything.
We have the second case in L.A. County. You scared?
Yeah. And I figured this out last week because there's an arc to these things. And you could see that there was no steady increase of reports of bodies piling up in morgues and people being parked out being parked in out in garages outside the hospital.
Well, it just got here. You're talking about South Africa?
Yeah, in South Africa.
Yeah, because it
and
just
here.
Got to the U.S.
Well, it's
well
it's been,
here, but it's not that. It probably isn't that many cases. You remember, it took a while for the original virus to circulate. It was months before people started dying. But there's no such reports from South Africa.
No. This is going to be a dud.
Even Fauci seems to be admitting. I saw he was interviewed again over the weekend. It said that so far, we're not seeing anything deadly here.
Nice try, the panicky, hysterical media trying to manipulate our emotions into being frightened. Yeah, you almost got us to put our masks on again. Good going. I resent the media machine so much. I mean, I've been watching news the last 2 weeks, and every night, pounding, pounding, pounding. Graphics, photos of that stupid virus, right? It's protein spikes. It's like, stop it.
So
stop it.
A report that the state of Oregon might go to permanent masking.
There you go.
That's right. They will never eliminate the indoor mask mandates. According to the National Review, Oregon is one of only 9 remaining states that has any kind of mask mandate at all. I guess we're in the group, too, because California does have mask mandates. It is one of only 4 states that has a mask mandate that applies to vaccinated and unvaccinated individuals alike. And it's the last remaining state, and this is the best one, to have an outdoor mask mandate.
Can you imagine that? And this is only fanatical left-wing governments that have this, like we have in L.A. County. Yes. Where vaccinated people are supposed to wear masks indoors. And Oregon is another fanatical left-wing cult. And so in order to show your loyalty to the religion, you have to wear the mask. You know, like in certain religions, you have to cover your head.
Oh, yeah. They're excited because it's also probably helped to stem the tide of other infectious diseases. They believe it's a great... permanent way to keep sickness down.
In our progressive religion, we cover our mouths. Not covering your mouth is a sign that you are unclean and diseased and dangerous. How often do you hear that in religions? Religions are always preaching about cleanliness, holiness, purity, covering up, going through cleaning and purifying rituals. This is very, very similar to religions.
Yeah, with religions, it's often about the sins of the flesh. That's what they get really worked up about.
Right, but you end up...
go nuts with sex.
You end up having to wear... It's like nuns, right? Always had to wear that little cape on their head.
Yes.
Okay?
It's called a habit.
The Jewish religions, the Muslim religions, the Catholics, everybody. It's always about wearing garments, wearing robes, wearing things to signify your purity and godliness. That's what the masks are for the progressives. It's like, yes, yes. We're all of the same faith. We're in the same sect together.
Well, not to be outdone, the oversized mayor of New York, who supposedly he's outgoing, but he may be running for governor of New York in next year's election, apparently surprised people by announcing a COVID-19 vaccine mandate on all private businesses in New York City. I guess it doesn't matter the size either, because Biden's is 100 more or more employees. Here is part of what he said today. This is Mayor Bill de Blasio in New York.
We cannot let those restrictions come back. We cannot have shutdowns here in New York City. We got to keep moving forward. Another really big, important step, and this is going to be a first in the nation step. You're going to hear from our health commissioner in a moment, and he will be issuing a commissioner's order for all private sector employers in New York City. It is time. Look, this is how we put health and safety first. By ensuring that there is a vaccine mandate that reaches everyone universally in the private sector. A lot of folks in the private sector have said to me they believe in vaccination, but they're not quite sure how they can do it themselves. Well, we're going to do it. We're going to do this so that every employer is on a level playing field. One universal standard starting December 27th. We're going to be working with businesses all over the city. And that's almost 200,000 businesses that are not already covered by the Key to NYC guidelines right now.
So, I mean, he's out of office on the 31st.
Yeah, so the new governor.
Can the new mayor just reverse this?
Yeah.
Well, good, I hope so.
The new mayor probably will.
Yeah.
The new mayor is Eric Adams. Though, from what I've seen, he's sane.
Oh, yeah, everything I've read, too. Because this guy is out of office on the 31st. This mandate goes into effect in just 21 days on December 27th. So I would say if you really
I mean, how much enforcement could there be in a few days, right?
Yeah, well, because it's to run for governor. He's virtue signaling to other members of the cult that he is of the highest moral
purity. He's a masker.
Yeah. Right. He's a masker. He's a vaccine guy. So I am morally pure, and I'm sure he'll be campaigning in his mask. I'm sure he'll be flashing his vaccination card for the TV cameras.
And so that's the lane he wants, huh? He thinks that's going to win him a statewide election.
No, he's a joke. Remember when he ran for president?
You're right. For a brief time, he did, didn't he?
Got a zero. There was one poll. You know, they usually poll.
Most people said never heard of him.
Usually they poll 1,000 people. Not one of the 1,000 people polled mentioned his name.
Oh, see, Kamala Harris did better than that.
That's right. She had 3%. He had zero. There's like asterisks, like Garcetti, and asterisks are somewhere between 0 and 1.
Right.
And you have maybe, you know, 4 or 5 people out of 1,000.
That's right. Garcetti ran, sort
but,
of.
But de Blasio was absolute zero. It's like that temperature scale, right?
Right.
Absolute zero is -459 degrees, I think.
Right.
And that's when all molecules no longer move anymore. That's de Blasio. He's at absolute zero. All his brain molecules stop moving.
All right. When we come back, well, there is an alternative to the exit bag. How would you like to get yourself into a suicide pod?
Mm-hmm. The Swiss suicide pod is the latest innovation.
John is pushing this heavily. We'll talk about it.
I hope they have gift certificates.
You're psycho.
John and Ken, you know who I'd give it to. KFI AM 640. John and Ken Show, John Cobalt, Ken Shampoo, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Out! That's right. The effort to get George Gascon out of the L.A. County DA's office, where he has been for a year now, has been rebooted. We'll get all the details coming up after 4 o'clock. Keep in mind, polls showed that L.A. County voters were more than willing to knock this guy out of office. And now and those polls are months old.
Yeah, it was about 2/3 of the county was willing to recall him. And this is before the huge crime wave.
Yes, so we think that's going to be an added incentive for people to get those petitions. We'll find out all about the new effort right at 4:05. We pull out the George Gascon recall desk. There apparently is an Australian by the name of Philip Nitsky who has invented a suicide pod. It's called the Sarco suicide pod. Once the lid is closed, you answer a few questions and then you push a button to be killed by a nitrogen overdose in about 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. It's quick.
Apparently the Swiss have just, the medical review board has just given authorization for use of that suicide pod in that country. It's a 3D printed portable coffin-like capsule with windows. Can be transported to any place you want for your final moments of life.
So you could drag it out to the beach?
The woods?
Oh, wow.
And climb in?
Maybe a mountaintop?
By yourself?
Yeah, you could do it by yourself.
So lonely.
Well, maybe you want people there to say goodbye. I don't know. It's up to you.
The pod can be activated from the inside.
Apparently you can choose a method.
Yeah, it doesn't say what the options are, I mean, other than the nitrogen overdose.
I know. Well, there's many ways to. There's all sorts of gases that could kill people, right? And
yeah,
like a gas chamber.
Yeah. So the Swiss Medical Review Board has given authorization. The Sarco suicide pod.
Yeah. Generally, it will involve some sort of chemical substance. So maybe you have your choice of chemical substances to release.
Now you pay for this. They have 4 pay suicide clinics where you go in and you give them money. And then I guess you get the capsule.
Well, the pod, right. Well, the pod probably can't be for free, even if you rent it. Can you rent it? Can I rent the suicide pod?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's...
They reusable?
Would you want a used suicide pod?
Nitsky said conventional assisted suicide methods have generally involved a chemical substance. But his death pod offers a different approach. We want to remove any kind of psychiatric review from the process and allow the person to control the method themselves. Our aim is to develop an artificial intelligence screening system to establish a person's mental capacity.
Yeah,
meaning he doesn't want somebody that's really just depressed and could change their mind, you see. He wants someone who wants determinedly to die.
Right. So there is no psychiatric review. They're not gonna do a run through.
I mean, especially for people that have a terminal illness.
It says the machine can be towed anywhere. So you just hook it up to the back of your car, drive out to the beach.
Well, we could bring it to events. John and Ken present. Any volunteers for the suicide pod?
Yeah, there's a radio promotion.
Yeah, it could be. To sign a lot of release forms for that one.
But if any show would do it.
All right, coming up, the George Gascoigne Recall Desk is back because the recall has been rebooted. We'll talk to Desiree and Kathy.
That's better than an exit bag, though, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. They'll tell us all about the new effort to take this guy out of office in L.A. County.
John and Ken Show, Deborah Marquez News, KFI AM 640.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.